ナモゴロエベナモエベダヤナモエダラエマヤナモエサンガヤナモI'm born, I'm 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 born
심지 탐지 도라나메 와양다고 도바 산지 고모정 보지네 타바자 티시디 담베 쉐세네 냠서 레냠네 꾸능디 강자세지 주로노스
Let us take a moment and cultivate the bodhicitta motivation. That is altruistic intention, seeking complete enlightenment for the benefit of all other sentient beings. And with that kind of motivation, we should engage in this teaching. Allow me to read a couple of passages from this Lamrim text, the great treatise on the stages of path to enlightenment, to give you an oral transmission blessing.
Rajit Seba Number Jung-jie-je-so-de-sa-be-ra-ng-o-ma-mi-be-be-si-ji-lo-de-ji-be-che-de-kha-sa. Teacher, 대용부다발베데다다지저광이바데다규 Pen motion to put me siba, never na lodi, di number, loss or bo, made the young to you, Minzijang. T now loss or made the young to you, Minzijang, T now you, but at the end, we don't do, junior butter. The corner made, but again, a
Geshe-la read from page 121 to 123. He stopped right at the top of page 123. Just to remind ourselves where we left off, last time in this particular volume number 3 of the Lamrim text. The main point that we started off was the need to establish selflessness, okay, and what is selflessness? And so why we need to do that is those who truly aspire for liberation or nirvana, okay, the first thing they or we need to do is we need to reflect on the general and specific problems and suffering of samsara or cyclical existence. When we do that, then we are able to develop genuine aspiration seeking way out of the suffering, way out of samsara. And when that kind of aspiration arises, then we naturally get interested to figure out what keeps us in samsara? What is the root cause of our being in samsara, if you will? So if we can figure out that, the root cause of samsara, and see the possibility to uproot that, to get rid of that root cause, then we really see clearly the way out of samsara or cyclical existence, and then we are able to see that, yes, we could, attain nirvana or liberation. And as we investigate the root cause of our being in samsara, we basically find these two types of grasping, if you will, grasping at the self of a person. Basically, we see the self of a person exists intrinsically or in and of itself, and then we also have grasping at mind. Everything we feel, it belongs to us. So we see everything that we possess is intrinsically existent or truly existent. So these two types of grasping that each of us have within ourselves constitute, if you will, the root cause of our being in samsara. And these graspings can be uprooted. They can be eliminated from within our mind. And the way to do that is to realize what selflessness is. So by realizing selflessness and cultivating that wisdom to the great extent possible, eventually what we attain is what we call truth body or dharmakaya, okay? Enlightened truth body. So that is the what called eventual goal or the final our spiritual goal or the destination. So that's what we talked about last time. That's where we left off last time. So now we're continuing our conversation, you know, from there. So when we discuss the need to establish what is selflessness, okay, but in this particular context, we also use terms like what is emptiness of intrinsic existence or inherent existence. You know, we use those two terms interchangeably in this particular context. Of course, phenomena are just countless and innumerable, you know. And it's almost you know, unimaginable for us to be able to go and establish emptiness of intrinsic existence on each and every phenomenon. And that just, you know, becomes you know, almost impossible thing to do. So our approach here is, you know, we basically looked at you know, central ideas here, which consists of two things, in order to establish selflessness or emptiness of intrinsic or inherent existence. And the two things are, as we said, self and mind, okay? Because, you know, we grasp at self as being intrinsically or inherently existent in and of itself. So we really need to understand that's not how self really exists. So we have to establish what we call the selflessness of a person or the emptiness of intrinsic existence of a person or a self. Then the other one is mind. Basically, you know, to be simple, each of us has got these three things, body, speech, and mind. Yeah? We grasp at them as being truly existent or intrinsically existent. So because of that grasping at mind, all other forms of delusion or afflicted emotions arise in our mind, you know, such as we are very attached to our body, speech, and mind, you know. And then, you know, we maybe are hostile to somebody's body, speech, and mind, or we don't like that, or whatever the case may be. So all those other afflicted emotions, they arise from such grasping. So in order to deal with that kind of a grasping, we really need to establish, if you will, the selflessness of phenomena, or the emptiness of intrinsic existence of what is mind, basically our body, speech, and mind. Okay. And, sorry, so I got a little carried away there, didn't finish what Geshe-la starts talking. So, you know, there's much of this, how to establish this selflessness or emptiness of intrinsic existence is really presented by Arya Nagarjuna in his Fundamental Wisdom Treatise, or Mule Madhyamika, especially in the chapter 18, okay? And so another great Indian master called Buddha Palida, you know, so he elucidated, you know, what Nagarjuna has described in chapter 18 on establishing selflessness or emptiness. And then following Buddha Palida's way or the tradition, a great Indian master, Acharya Chandrakirti, you know, so he has elucidated it even further, if you will, in his supplement to the middle way or Madhyamik avatar.
Okay. Okay. Nyam no jyo me de da da gin ze ma nam na ba tham ji de se ba la ni le nyu la me ji we se ji de ba ma ni te ji ba la ga ye me jang che de na ge che ji zhe we che ma tham ji de ma me ba bang ba ni che ji ge yin bi che da da la ren xin me ba to ba na ti yan la che bi phung bon nam la yang ren xin yo ban zen ba do ban ji che de
So that was a bit long because we're dealing with complex matters here, I think. So Geshe-la is, you know, started to explain what you read, you know, on page 121, you know, where a question has been raised is, are you, I'm reading it, are you not teaching how to enter the reality of Mahayana? In that case, the reality that one seeks to attain cannot be the mere extinction of the conceptions of both the self and that which belongs to it. I know it sounds like, you know. So in order to understand that, so he's just trying to explain what's the background information that we should know about here. The thing that we should really keep in our mind is that across Buddhist schools of thought or tenets, yeah, they might use the same terminology at times called selflessness in order to attain nirvana or freedom from samsara. One has to realize selflessness, and as if they're all agreed upon that. But then when we look across the different Buddhist schools of thought, their understanding of what selflessness is quite, different, qualitatively and substantially different. Yeah. And so that's what Geshe-la is trying to, explain a little bit so that we get a glimpse into this whole complexity of, understanding selflessness. As you know that in Buddhist school of thought, at least there are, four major schools of thought. Okay. And we have the middle way school, the Madhyamikans, and then we have the Chittamatins or the mind-only school. And then below that, we have the Saptantikas or the followers of the sutras. And then below that, we have the Vaibhashikas, the realist. Okay. And within this, they have other sub-schools, as you know. Okay. Now, Buddhist schools of thought, from Vaibhashika all the way up to Sevatantika Madhyamika, one of the sub-schools of the Middle Way school. Are you with me so far? All of them talk about selflessness, in a way that's very different from the way Prasangika Madhyamikans, understand or establish what selflessness is. According to Sevatantika Madhyamikans and the Buddhist schools down below, which include Chittamatrins, which include Sautantikas, which include Vaibhashikas, okay? So when they talk about selflessness, they are basically looking at, the self that doesn't exist. The kind of self that doesn't exist is what we call self-sufficient, substantially, existent self. Rangyatuba, right? There is a self-sufficient, and substantially existent self-I. Such a self does not exist. Okay? So the absence of such a self or emptiness of such a self is understood as what selflessness is, okay, in those Buddhist schools of thought. So by realizing that kind of selflessness, right, the self, there is no such thing as self-sufficient and substantially existent entity, self. By understanding, realizing that kind of selflessness, one can attain nirvana or freedom from samsara and so on. Okay, so that's their understanding, establishing what selflessness is. And then within those Buddhist schools of thought, Sautantikas, followers of sutras, and Vaibhashikas are the realists. They only accept the selflessness of a person. They really don't talk about selflessness of phenomena. Okay. Whereas Chittamatrins, the mind-only school, and the Sarvatantika Madhyamikans, they do talk about the selflessness of phenomena because they said, in order to become a Buddha, fully enlightened being, it's not just enough to realize the selflessness of a person as we just defined, but you also need to realize the selflessness of phenomena because that will help you to purify your mind of the imprints of the delusions. Okay, that's how you can become a Buddha. Okay, so that's how they theorize about what selflessness is and the two types of selflessness. Okay, are you with me? Okay. So according to these schools of thought, what they say is, that, self is something imputed onto the aggregates, right? In our case, physical and mental aggregates constitute the basis of imputation, right? Self is imputed onto it, and if you really investigate what that self is, the assumption is that you are likely to find something that you say, ha, here it is. Are you with me? Okay. And so some of them might, grasp at a subtle form of consciousness of wisdom. Okay, they won't say that any sensory consciousnesses constitute that self. Okay? But they are likely to say that, hey, there is a subtle wisdom kind of a consciousness. That is what the self is. If you investigate it, it's something findable. Are you with me so far? Okay. So that's those Buddhist schools of thought. And that understanding of selfness is very different from non-Buddhist presentation of self, what the self is. And when in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, we often say non-Buddhist, it often refers to many different Hindu philosophies or thoughts, as we say. And what some of the, in the Hindu philosophical tradition, they talk about is, yes, there is a kind of self that exists, okay, in and of itself. And so if you ask for them to, okay, describe that self, what is its relationship with the aggregate? They say that, hey, your aggregate of the body is like a house, and that self is the guest in the house. Okay? So when you die, so basically the house collapses, but you can find a new house because you move into the new house. So there is a self, kind of independent, partless, self that moves from one house to the other house. So the guest is intact, but the house can collapse. Okay? So they say that the self and the body are very separate from each other, isn't it? Because the house and the one who lives in the house, they are very different, isn't it? We know. The one who lives in the house is not the house, and the house is not the one who lives in it, just to make it simple, Okay? So they're very distinctively separate things. Okay? Whereas the Buddhists really don't agree with that. They say, no, it can't be. There cannot be an independent self out there and which is very different from your body or the guest, with the house. Okay? So self is something reside in the body, according to many of those schools, Buddhist schools that we just laid out. Are you with me? So you have to find that self in the house, so to speak, in the physical and mental aggregates. Well, Pasangikas have an issue with even that too. Other Buddhist schools of thought, they say, you know what? No, you didn't get it. Okay. Well, they would say in a very nicest way, like, no. You can't find that self. If something is findable under analysis, then you got it all wrong. Okay? Self is nothing but a mere label that is labeled onto, imputed onto the collection of aggregates. That's all there is to it. You cannot find it within the aggregate. It's just something labeled onto that. Okay. So that is a very subtle understanding of what selflessness is. This is where we will have a lot of discussions, to understand Pasangika's, presentation of what that selflessness is. Okay, I didn't miss anything. Okay, good. No So in what I've just explained, basically in a very sort of a nutshell, explained three different ways of looking at what self is or what a person is, or three different ways of establishing selflessness. One, we said, how do non-Buddhists, basically here in my footnote said, in Hindu schools of thought primarily, see the self exist. So that's why they talk about Atma, right? Something that exists permanently and independently, okay? So that means that Atma or the self is very distinctively different from, you know, a person's body. Okay? So the body is like a house and Atma is the guest inside the house. But they are not one and the same thing. They are very quite distinct. And because they said that's a permanent, it never changes. You know, Atma is permanent, okay, and partless. So all Buddhist schools of thought theoretically take issue with that. You know, but a person cannot be permanent, you know. So Buddhists hold this big on impermanence and transitoriness of nature of things, okay. So couldn't accept that. So all Buddhists started to debate with that. And then in the Buddhist schools of thought, you know, from Sevatandiga, Madhyamikins, all the way to the Vibhasikas, they have one common way of understanding what, you know, selflessness is, which I briefly, I mean, explained to you. Okay, that. And then we briefly kind of highlighted it, we have to talk about it, is the Prasangika's exclusive presentation of understanding of what selflessness is. So basically they say that a person is empty of intrinsic, inherent existence. You know, a person is simply a mere label, okay? And there's nothing more or less to that. So that's a very subtle idea or notion, you know, we struggle to understand. And because that is the exclusive presentation of Prasangika, you know, Mother Megan's. So now that being said, if we look inside us, and how do we see or grasp at the self, basically we... In terms of our ordinary experience, it's exactly more or less what the Hindus talk about. In our mind, we really basically think there is that, you know, independent, you know, permanent kind of a self there. And we usually have a better sense of that, you know, when we really get angry, somebody makes and drives us nuts, right? At that temper, how dare you say that? So that's the sense of, you know, independent, that kind of a, you know, unchanging entity cell, it pops up. Okay, so our experience really accords with a lot of what the Hindu philosophers really talk about. Okay, or that when we are really scared, like anything, oh, you know, that sense of self again, it pops up. Of course, theoretically and rationally in a Buddhism, we talk about how that kind of self does not exist. Okay, but in terms of our experience right now, ordinarily speaking, so our experience is really more accord with what really is being talked about in Hindu philosophies. That's what they said. Based upon that innate conception of I or the self, which is independent, permanent, never-changing self, then we started to, conceptualize all other things, and then we label them, and this is how it all, you know, the exist things come into play. Okay. In one of the popular commentary on understanding valid cognitions of Brahmana called Namte Thalam Seje, means elucidating the liberating path. Okay, a commentary on valid cognitions, as Geshe-la said, there's really quite a, you know, profound descriptions of how you and I ordinarily really grasp at ourselves. How do we conceive or perceive the self or I to exist very permanently and, you know, independently? And the description has it that, you know, deep inside us, we feel like within our five physical and mental aggregates, there is that independent I of the self. And who, it feels like I can make my choices here, right? And when my body is aching, you know, I want to exchange it for a nicer body, you know, younger body, you know. And if my mind is kind of sluggish, I want that, you know, really, you know, what called the clear thinking mind to myself. So as a matter of fact, inside us, we feel like I can exchange all my five aggregates, you know, give the bad one to somebody else and get a better version for myself. You know, I just want that. So that sense gives us that we feel like inside us there is that independent, you know, intrinsically, you know, existing self who wants to make those choices here and there. Okay. And that's why we're stuck. You know? My second footnote.
Yeah.
So the crux of the debate of the matter here is, you know, critics says, you know, that, you know, your presentation about selflessness is, you know, how we said that, you know, individual practitioners reflect on the suffering nature of samsara and then develop the aspiration to get out of that and then try to investigate what's the root cause of the samsara, then realize, you know, the graspings are the root cause, and then you find, you know, realize the selflessness to counteract that, and then you realize the truth body. Yeah. So then they think that, well, that, you know, how should I say, the whole thing must be applicable to the Mahayana practitioners of kind, you know. But then what about, you know, other Buddhist practitioners, the Shravakas or the hearers, you know? Don't you assert that, I mean, they could attain nirvana or they realize, you know, a selflessness? Yeah. And so I'm centered on that issue. So what is being really talked about is, yes, I'm a the practitioners of the lower schools of thought, I mean, they do realize the selflessness of a person, and based upon that, you know, they theorize about attaining nirvana or liberation from a samsara. Okay, but what is more talked about in the higher schools of Buddhist thought is not only uprooting just the delusions, the afflictive emotions within our mind, but also purifying our mind of the predispositions or the imprints of those delusions as well. Yeah. So in order to, you know, purify the imprints of the delusions, it is a must that one realize the selflessness of phenomena, if you will. Okay. Without which, so one cannot eliminate the imprints. So without eliminating the imprints of the delusions, even if you are free of delusions, but if the imprints are still intact in your mind, you couldn't be a Buddha. In order to attain the truth body, to become fully enlightened beings, we have to be free of delusions or afflictive emotions as well as the imprints. Okay, so this is where the higher schools of Buddhist thought talk about the selflessness of phenomena in addition to the selflessness of a person, okay? What changed the emptiness of a self and emptiness of phenomena, okay? And the last thing I want to say is, so from Pasangika Madhyamika's point of view, there is no difference in terms of what is being refuted or negated. The object of negation or refutation is just the same whether you talk about emptiness of a person or emptiness of phenomena. Okay? The difference between the two types of emptiness, if you can say that, right, theoretically, is nothing to do with the object of negation or what is being refuted. It has to do with the basis upon which the emptiness is established. You know, self and phenomena are two different bases. So when we establish emptiness of each basis, from the point of the basis, you know, we can talk about emptiness of person and emptiness of phenomena. But in terms of what that emptiness is, there is no qualitative difference. Okay, emptiness of a person is just the same as emptiness of phenomena and vice versa. Because what is being negated or refuted, gaksha in Tibetan, the object of negation, is just the same. Okay, so that is the Prasangika's unique, you know, presentation. Okay. No,
だから、今は、とばね、ティーやな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分もなんだな、自分も 那个新的人了，新的下线是吧？现在新的真的人了，跟个清楚不是吧？那那一那那个没有到那那碰不上，一直把这边这把的，那人心过得清楚不是是吧？嗯，是。但碰不对面，但人有时那对面是个人心没把这什么玩了。嗯，是。对面多着不是，那你我这连的结果是啥？但你这个项目，那那个没有到我上天，那东西都没得啥的连结果。嗯，是。
According to say Savatandiga Madhyamikins, one of the subschools of Middle Way, they assert that nothing exists truly. Okay, so they talk about emptiness of true existence. Okay, and so when we realize that kind of emptiness of a person or a self. Indirectly, so to speak, you also realize the emptiness of phenomena or his or her aggregates. Okay, and the example given is that of a chariot, a wooden chariot, right? When you burn the whole chariot, its parts that really constitute the chariot also gets burned, right? There's no such thing. A chariot is burned, but, you know, something, its part is still left. So in the same way, when you realize the emptiness of a person or a self, you also realize that aggregates do not exist truly either. So you also, you know, that induces understanding the emptiness of a person also induces that kind of a certainty of knowledge that aggregates, which in a sense are part of the self or the person, do not exist truly as well. Okay. Okay.
Then the double Marie with Cinema, Cinji, Lord and Demon, the Dad, Mamma, him, Hirgio, Pombongo, and the Dad. Kong, Yawalem, and you do. No, and did she, Pumbu, Singy, Yavashi, come on to Pumbu, Singy, Mabashi, Pumbu, Dad, Rosin, Yuari, Marie, with Jeva Shadri. Jeva, Taban Deva Nanji, number Jeva, you know, number Tamji, Jeva, not Taban Deva Nanji, Mammy, but teacher. Then I'm not Dani, Yava Minor, Dagi, Yava Kalan, Jor. Da mamik bichir, da di da bi he, da gwa xin di qi, mik ba min ju ro, qi da xin da cik na, di yin la, ta jang, cik ba, yin la da ya cik bi, mamik ba ti xin di, nian zhu ba ta gi, kong ki zi, da mi ba do ba ti yi ji, pung pung ngu ba ta gi, da gwa yang, da mi ba do ba min ju ro, xi, da rang xin mi ba ra do bi, Say, the girl, Pumbo Lang, and Dad, the Ranshim of a Dobber, Song Source,
So the point we just made, what we explained is this, that, you know, of course, from Prasangya perspective, Madhyamic perspective, if you realize the selflessness of a person, which is to say emptiness of a person, you will also realize the emptiness of aggregates, or that which is considered mind. Okay? The reason for that is because in terms of what selflessness is or emptiness is, there isn't any qualitative difference. What is being negated or refuted to establish that emptiness is just the same. Okay? And so continuing with the conversation, what we're talking about is according to Prasangika's, not Prasangika, I should say, Prasangika, Jerembuche.
Did you mean Sochanti?
No, Prasangika's, yeah, talking about. According to Prasangika's, what is it? Although there is no qualitative difference in terms of emptiness of a person and emptiness of phenomena, in terms of cultivating realization approach, we should approach the emptiness of a person first. Why? Because it's easier to conceptualize that due to the basis upon which that emptiness is established. And so then we can move on to the emptiness of phenomena. Okay? Now, there are other scholars, you know, who might disagree with that. You know, sometimes they might say, okay, there's really no difference, you know, how you, which of these two emptiness you approach. But according to Yeah. So I'm just double checking with Kishila whether I really understood it. He said, yes, Lama Tsongkhapa Jerembuche, you know, his viewpoint is that although there is no qualitative difference in terms of what emptiness of a person and emptiness of phenomena, but, you know, we should approach the emptiness of person first because of that very basis, it is relatively easier to conceptualize that and then move on to the emptiness of a phenomena. And that's also grounded in the Prasangika's perspective as well. But we also said that other scholars who might, you know, not agree with that or differ from that presentation. But another thing that Keshe also said is, according to Prasangika's perspective, if a person has this intellectual grasping at the intrinsic nature of a self, then that person cannot, you know, could not have realized the emptiness of a person. Okay? If somebody, because we differentiate between intellectual form of grasping and, you know, the innate form of grasping, if you will. That's my third footnote. So should someone has this intellectual grasping at the intrinsic nature of a person, or phenomena, sorry, so that person could not, realize the emptiness of a self or the person. Okay, now I hope Geshe-la will explain that more.
Kete kaza na yime watobe lo ting yu puma na yime watobe ina dawe ni tobe lo ni jek din jo yi shir yon yu to. Shwe de kaza ni sozo wa yime ting yin na yime watobe lo ni yi sozo wa yi di penu puma de kawa me taba la tobe lo shenu. Kaza na yime watobe lo ting yi yi puma na yime watobe ma to na kaza na dame tobe puma na yime watobe shi don jo nyam na si. Dele chewa tangbu te me lin be se, chewa wama xeba xeba se. Kho ni tisi war da da yuwa ra yi mewa tokwa, teni ni pungpa ra yi mewa tokwa li lao zwa.
No.
Dele dun da te tokwa ni kwa kajik si na xoku tokwa samgang zhuri tanga towa. Se se kwa yu lo jege da yuwa ra yi mewa tokwa, taga rangi ni pungpa ra yi mewa tokwa li be se. Tokwa ra na, ini da ra yi mewa de kansa dang me ra wa se.
So one of the questions being put forward by the critic is, you know, where we said that, you know, if one realizes the selflessness of a person or emptiness of a person, one will also realize the emptiness of his or her aggregates or the phenomena. Okay? Now, the critic takes issue with that because they thought that once you realize the selflessness of a person or emptiness of a person, okay, you indirectly, the same mind, what we call indirectly, also realizes the emptiness of phenomena. Okay? So then they said, you know, that can't be because self and phenomena are two different things. Okay, so one mind cannot really realize both, you know, emptinesses. Okay, so they put forth their critique here. And so our position, or in the sense, I think here, Jenbuchi or Prasangik position, is this, that we are not saying that it is the same mind that realizes both emptinesses, you know, one directly and one indirectly. That's not what we meant. When we say that, when someone realizes the emptiness of a person, he or she will also realize the emptiness of the aggregates. What we mean is that first realization could induce, okay, this other realization and understanding. And so how, if you ask, is that once you really realize the emptiness of a person with your reasoning, everything, right, then you can simply shift your focus onto the aggregates of the person. Without need to use any different kind of reasoning, you can realize the emptiness of the aggregates or the phenomena. Okay? So that is what we meant by. So when one realizes the emptiness of a person, one will also realize the emptiness of his or her aggregates. Are you with me? It's just a matter of shifting your focus onto the aggregates, but by the power of the same reasoning, logic you use, you can also realize the emptiness of aggregates. So the, whatever the critic that has been labeled on us, it doesn't hold water, in other words.
Okay. Okay. 提起的康萨人心脉不倒闭，这碰不上心脉不倒闭，松索是。我们的他的康萨人心脉不，呃，倒碰不上心脉不倒闭，是啊，这个这些呢，老几个倒不通嘛，这是碰不上心脉吧？可是康萨人心脉不倒，老天天，那碰不上心脉，真真个嘛了吧？天，得了天呢，那碰不上心脉不倒透过的，得倒闭，让康萨人心脉不倒过，但碰不上心脉不倒是松样就，是松了可以得了药也没得哇？
嗯，
我松样的得的是。 对呀，不打扮的，那大一小可以把的，那个那可以把的，那个些吃那，那的要买的，对面的对，对那些小吃的，那天不就是些什么的，些玩意儿，别那是大的，别的不对了，大，大东西没把动呢，那碰不上一毛多，给别的了下，嗯，别那陌生人不没事把，你把那，老的。
So basically, Geshe-la read the passage, you know, we substantiate which we had earlier just talked about on page 122 and a little bit over 123 right on the top. So the contention that has been made is that, from our point of view, perspective, once you realize the you know, selflessness of a person, you will also realize the selflessness of phenomena. Okay, and but that does not mean it's the same mind, one consciousness that realizes both emptinesses all at the same time. But what we're saying there is that once you have the realization of the selflessness of a person, by simply shifting your focus onto the person's aggregates, we call phenomena, by the power of the same reasoning, the logic, you can realize the selflessness of phenomena. Yeah. So now the example given is, I don't know whether the example works easy for you or not here, it's traditional kind of example, is on page 123. Okay. So which is, you know, once we know a barren woman cannot give birth, so in other words, there is no son or a daughter of a barren lady, if I'm not saying the word right, a woman who cannot give birth to, okay, that's what I mean, yeah, if I'm not pronouncing it right. So we can't really talk about a son or a daughter of such a woman, because it is non-existent. Are you with me? Once we realize that, we may not, you know, necessarily analyze that, oh, would that son or a daughter have a beautiful eyes or ears like that? Because that makes no sense. If a son or daughter doesn't exist, we really don't have to go and analyze whether she has a beautiful eyes or a long hair or anything like that, you know, because we automatically understand, right, that that couldn't exist. Okay? So in the same way, once we realize the emptiness of a person, by the power of that realization, as we shift our focus onto the aggregates, we can realize that his or her aggregates also do not exist intrinsically or inherently. Okay. Now, I don't know whether the example work with you, but there you have it. Yeah.
Oh, the one round the Kansa, Tang Yu the Devi, Nuva Mawa Nam Yang Kansa Tonta Vajuba Mindi Kansa Tonta Vajuba Mindi Be, Teda K Yang, Miguel Sawa Nam Rashima Taba Yuru Shena, Teda Migda Yu Teda Migda Yugula Sabi. Ragbanam teda gitayu dindebe ranghi meba toba yoro teda wanyana teda ndena ya ranghi ke lang badang ge la nyugu la so banam de me tu ro mo ko ban jwa tam ge me ge le lu yong zu zo ba la yu nan jo ji yu ya ranghi meba to na de ba tong se le me lu dan jwa ni ne me ko jo de ji ba la so ba me be me be se yi la so ba pe ne ga na 你老辈那个先的叫我们那么些他大概没那么当家园里面的里面的我们比妈国家同学的心他这是我的大的大概怎么样的现在但是留到我们的让下这边怎么听可是怎么听说是吧但是听说大的我们把让一百多少人因为碰到让一百多少人听说我一大没的时候是吧我是可以抽出过是吧所以他这那大的一百多少人因为碰到一百多少人那你其他嘛等多的话都做给你碰到让一百多少人控制大没有大让一百多少人考察咱们多少人大多少人电开连过是吧现在考察咱们是名章些刚才名章是吧所以让一百多少人都多我们吧，让一百多人都多少人我的自我用他的这些因为这些这些都是嘛这些就是刚刚给那边他的主要的帕金告诉来因为le dang le ju le la sa ba kan chi sha ji ga ga rang xi ma zhou na en de men na ye sha ji tan ji me de wo zuo ba xin ni xi da yao le ba wo xi de tian zhe me ta ge de si kun zhe en de de na en xiu ta bi rang xi ma duo le ba su dang me duo kun zhe ti dou ne en pa jin ga zhe de kun zhe men lu da bie xi ni rang xi me na en sha ji te ge ma le xin o ma ba le ga xia meng go xie de ti ye gan zhe me le ba si kun zhe duo zhe ma le si wo de ge zhe tuan da da考察当面是明确没得没去，多当这个嘛是吧？肯定最好的。
嗯，我提的。In the middle of page 123, another objection has been raised and responded to. That's where the Geshe-la is giving his explanation here. Yeah. I think the whole debate is really based upon the thing that now they say that, well, if you say that, if someone realizes the selflessness of a person, he or she will also realize the selflessness of the phenomena. Then he said, in that case, then the Vaibhasikas and Sautantikas, right, who assert selflessness of a person, when they realize the selflessness of a person, so they would also realize the selflessness of phenomena. And that makes no sense because in their schools, they don't talk about selflessness of phenomena. So you got a problem. That's what the, you know, the big mouth critic comes here, right? And so the response said, you know what, you know, you got it wrong because you are critiquing us from based upon your own understanding of what the selflessness is, right? Because according to them, you know, selflessness of a person means there is no self-sufficient and substantially existent self, okay? And we all, and they said that the Vaibhasikas and Sautantikas, they do realize their selflessness, and that's how they can be, you know, they can be out of samsara. Okay. But they have not really understood or realized the selflessness of a person that Prasangika is talking about. So I think they are talking over each other, you know, because the critic, you know, they, you know, ask the question from their understanding point of what the selflessness of a person is, and the Prasangikas are talking about their version of the selflessness of a person. So they are talking over each other and not getting, you know, sense here. And so the Prasangika says that, you know, if you label that charge as us, then all the critics you have labeled us somewhere else in the treatise dealing with perfection of wisdom makes no sense. You know, where Prasangikas often talk about how phenomena lack intrinsic existence or true existence. They are just like a dream. Are you with me? Okay. But elsewhere, in some other texts, you know, these other Buddhist schools of thought, they take issue with the Prasangika. They say, you know, how dare you say that phenomena are just like in a dream? Because in dream, nothing really exists. Dream is a dream. You know, there is no substance. Okay. So they label sort of all those other critics. So now Prasangika is coming, you know, in which case all those criticisms you label as makes no sense at all, you know, which means you will come to accept our position that all phenomena are just like dream, and because of that understanding, the law of karma and its outcomes function exactly as they do. Okay, but whereas you don't accept that, you see, so you have to look within your, you know, perspective and understand that. So I think that's the debate between the, some lower schools of Buddhist thought and the Prasangika at this point.
Thank you, Karthi. That's what I'm saying. 我把你呀，其他没做过嘛，不过的话是，其实碰不上一毛多少，你做不的也多没的话是，哦，这是这是为啥是吧？嗯，等到我把毛南京楼去通，我把毛南京楼去通，嗯，通通的工作就琢磨着到，我们把楼去工作的通通的琢磨着呢，去没准备，得到工作的地方呢，我们别。
现在通通就做吧，等，等到个通通就做吧，对吧？那我们把等呢，工作就做吧，你就话，那另外这样没办，但等他们下班下午时候，但对，就说做吧的，因为就不打工，工资就好嘛，我心里，因为我们做生意当中做吧的也是，其实对，就不打工，工资就要不闲过来是，是吧？就不到我们工作，到通通那些，到天气工作，通通那些，刚刚看看的是，嗯，
现在就让你做吧的，因为我没做这些，现在其实我做吧，做吧，可能我首先那么先做过的是吧？嗯。So
at the end of page 123, so basically as a part of the response to the critique, you know, where the critique said that, you know, if we follow your contention, then the Vibhasika practitioners, when they realize the selflessness of person, they would also realize the self of phenomena. So that all makes no sense here, right? And so the response to that is, you know, we said, you know, because you are mixing up the different perspectives, you know, you, in order to debate and argue, you first make sure that you understand what your position is and what the opponent's position is. So basically they say, then you can debate. When you muddle all the perspectives here and there and ask questions, so it's that here, Jaden would say, it's not working out. Basically, as it says at the end of page 123, that sometimes the Buddhist schools of thought may use the same terms, but they mean different things. Okay, for example, kunzop, conventionality, dhundam, ultimate existence. These terms are used by Buddhist schools of thought across the board, right? But they mean it differently. What is meant by conventionally existent and ultimately existent in the lower schools of Buddhist thought, such as Vibhasika, are very different from what is meant by conventional existence and ultimate existence in higher schools of Buddhist thought. Okay, so the terminology may be same, but the understandings are very different. So we have to sort out for the meaning differences, and then we can debate about it. So that's a part of the response here. Okay.
我这边呢，就在学校给电影那么下去玩，但其他嘛些呢，可是多地方现在我把它统统点吧，写我把门员工工作点吧，意思吧，是吧？工作在下，那其他嘛些呢，像把嘛，那学生时候呢，那人最老门多的统统点吧写，他们不尴尬，因为工作点吧意思我是感觉，他什么什么人家培训他，因为工统统的东西下呀，他工作了。
So when we look within Buddhist schools of thought, you know, every Buddhist school of thought, you know, they make their presentation of the two truths, conventional truth and ultimate truth. Every school of Buddhist thought. Okay, so we will hear them say conventional truth, ultimate truth, but that could mean different things, right, in different schools of thought. For example, in the Vibhasika school of thought, realist, okay, everything that is produced, we call composite phenomena, Ngöbo in Tibetan, is considered as ultimate truth, reality. That which is not functional or composite is called conventional. Okay, so that's their presentation of what is conventional and what is ultimate. In the Vibhasika schools of thought. Are you with me? Then we go to, that's the Southern Tikas, what I'm saying. That's the Southern Tikas understanding of, let me do it again. Southern Tikas, anything that is composite, that is produced, that's functional, is considered as ultimate, and that which is not functional or composite is, you know, conventional. Then we go to the Vibhasikas, the realists. What they say is that a phenomenon that cannot be destroyed by, for example, a hammer or something, by some tools, or that cannot be what we call eliminated by thought, conceptualization, such an entity or a phenomenon is considered as ultimate. Everything else, which can be destroyed either by machine or whatever thing, or it can be eliminated by thought or the concept, is considered as conventional. Okay, so it's a very different understanding of what is conventional and what is ultimate in the Vipassika school. Then the other schools of Buddhist thought, from Chittamatrins, mind only and up, if you will, they would usually say ultimate truth only refers to emptiness, although the understanding of emptiness is different in mind only school, in the Savatandiga Madhyamika school, in the Prasangika school, but they all agree the ultimate reality only refers to emptiness, okay, shunyata. And that which is not emptiness is considered as conventional reality or the truth. So as you can see, you know, even with this glimpse here, that all Buddhist schools of thought have their presentation of the true truths, ultimate truth and conventional truth, but they have very different understandings, you know, oftentimes very different understandings of what those truths are. Okay, so we have to sort out those positions and then we can debate about those things. Otherwise, you know, if things get mixed, it gets more confusing, as we can see. So what we have to pay attention to is that at times the terminology that is being used across the Buddhist schools of thought could be just the same, but in terms of what it really means, the meaning, it could be vastly different. Now, another example here is all Buddhist schools of thought accept that person or a self is an imputed phenomenon, tāyu in Tibetan, is something imputed, labeled. Okay? But then you ask, what do you mean by labeled? Well, then we start to see the differences. Okay? According to Prasangika Madhyamika schools, a person is simply labeled onto collection of his or her aggregates. Okay? That's all there is to it. But if you try to find what that person is, it is unfindable. So person is an imputed phenomenon, but unfindable until ultimate analysis, according to Prasangika schools of thought. Okay? But according to other Buddhist schools of thought below that, including Savatandiga Madhyamikins, other sub-school, and the schools below, they also say that a person is an imputed phenomenon, but if you look for that person, you can find it somewhere. See that? So from Prasangika point of view, if something is findable, you got it terribly wrong somewhere, you know. You are contradicting yourself. You said it's imputed, and then you said you can find it. See? So those are the vast differences we can see between Prasangika and other Buddhist schools of thought. And from Chandragiri's point of view, who is one of the illustrious representatives of Prasangika school, as we know now, from Prasangika school of thought, all other Buddhist schools of thought below, which means Savatandika, Madhyamikins and below, they do not realize the selflessness of a person or emptiness of a person. Why? Because they have not understood what that selflessness of a person is. What they have realized is the selfness of the person they presented is, which is the self that is empty of self-sufficient and substantially existent self. Yes, you realize that, but that's not what we call, Prasangikas call, the selflessness of a person or the emptiness of a person. Are you with me? So from Prasangika point of view, even all other Buddhist schools of thought have not realized what the selflessness of a person is or what the emptiness of a person is. And so although, as we said before, from Prasangika point of view, that even though there is no qualitative difference between the two selflessnesses or the two emptiness, if you will, but relatively speaking, it's easier to deal with the emptiness of a person first than the emptiness of phenomena. But in order to, if you still have in your mind this intellectual grasping at the self of a phenomena, from Prasangika point of view, you still did not realize and could not realize the emptiness of a person. Okay, that was a lot of things we said, isn't it? You asked for it? I'm just kidding. My fourth footnote today.
Yeah.
So according to other Buddhist schools of thought, other meaning other than the Prasangika Madhyamika schools, when they say what does imputed mean, because a person is an imputed phenomenon, what imputed means is for example, they say house is an imputed phenomenon. And why is it imputed? They say that once you destroy the house completely, then that concept of the house or the mind apprehending the house, it does not arise. Are you with me? Or even mentally, if you can mentally destroy the house, then you lose that conception or the apprehension of the house. So therefore, such phenomenon is considered as an imputed phenomenon, according to them. Okay? Now, any phenomenon where, you cannot destroy it or even mentally destroy it, but you still have the mind. For example, they talk about, the example Kishila given is blue color. Okay? And so they consider this as a substantially existent phenomenon. So blue color is an example of substantially existent phenomenon because you cannot erase the blue and lose that the apprehension of the blue. Apprehension means the perception of the blue. Okay, according to them. So according to these Buddhist schools of thought, aggregates are substantially existent phenomena. The Tibetan term is called zeyu. Okay? And so from Prasangika point of view, nothing is substantially existent. Everything is imputedly existent. Okay? So from Prasangika point of view, because they still grasp at these aggregates as substantially existent, so therefore they cannot realize the emptiness of aggregates or the phenomena. So that's the part of the Prasangika's response to their debate. Okay, we will stop there today, and your questions are welcome. And there is the traveling mic over there, the Venerable. Well, God bless you. Kishala expects more questions today because we talked too much about imputed and substantial and all that kind of stuff.
So Tensala, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Geshe-la. I have two questions.
Sure.
And they both come from my fundamental ignorance.
Okay.
So both today as well as the previous class when we talked about this, Geshe-la cited Jey Rinpoche.
Yes.
And said that it's much easier to realize the emptiness of the self than to realize the emptiness of phenomena.
Right.
And I'm having some issues here.
Right.
So Geshe-la had described this four-part sequence that we have to go through where we first establish that the self has to be either existing as one with the parts or independent of the parts.
Right.
Then we look for the object of negation within the aggregates.
Mm-hmm.
And then failing to find the object of negation, we then establish the emptiness of the self.
Right.
Now, if I were to try and do that process with myself,
right.
then I have to look for the object of negation within the five skandhas, within the five aggregates,
okay.
the form aggregate and the four mental aggregates.
Right.
If, on the other hand, if I were to try and establish the emptiness of this table phenomena, there is only one aggregate, the form aggregate.
Right.
So then, from that piece of logic, shouldn't it be five times more difficult to establish the emptiness of the self than to establish the emptiness
of phenomena?
Okay, let
me do one by one. Okay, that's good, so that I don't mix up and get confused, you know, here. Toma geng di tiring tika jo nama tva chana shugu dwa geng. Korang tiva nyi yu sa, dadi korang ge mongba maribi tani tende tiva pyugu yu sa geng rwa. Tiva tango de dire dwa geng, tiva rere tana eksala yang ge dredu gu rwa geng. Tewa tangpo de genza ta kazaan gen sunsa, dirin sunsa, bena ta jirinbu jik sheba chebe ina, ena kansa ka dame, ta chur ka dame la ya chara yao ma re sirwa. Ina piki shi di ka chwa zi jina kansa dame di, ena toa labra shiru, nga la ya di chabur sunbu rwa gen. Ta koran kere ki samla dangda chebe ina, an di kante ina sirwa gen. Bena koran rang la samla dangwa, ta namju gen ganzu jiba chedan jiyo rwa gen. Taro sa gore, ena kazaan gen ma gen ka chu sa nang suna, de kansa dinde ki, kasatan gakze taa dung yue simba ina an su su pungu nga da jik redu tade redu ku zegu orwa ge di zedu kaa la pungu nga zao lo la maa che gu gu che ne tamadal manye tu di kari tengi rusi na an taa meba jing gu orwa ge zidu kaa la pungu nga na re che de gu orwa sko yue da me orwa ge jik redu tade redu orwa taa bena chu ge taa me zana ku jok zi rupi samla dung orwa ge zidin zebe na ku pungu da maa jik masi yoma orwa sko su gu se orwa ge dagara nga la ya jik duma zi zidu kaa di le la rusi tong eru chik duro orwa ge Pumbunga zhe ge te nga le nga che gong da bjo che gong che gor wa ge. Ti kan de ina sa ge.
Zhe de ma da kan sa de le bu ge lo zhe cha xi mong wo zhe de cha wa zhe ro. Ta ge de zhe zhe de de ge zhe de na ji du ka mo se ya so zhe wo ji xue cha xi ge da ge lo cha mo ge dong do cha ya ling zhe yo ma ve.
No.
O de ge de ka ga ya ra.
Se
kan sa de de ko Samlun tu tangan tu tangan, ini pe kongsa tu subuh re tu kan, namji re tu kan, sawa re tu kan, samlun tu kan, ko mahi pa taa kwa laan tu siya ra, tau tong si di ra. Ta shinda tu chayi kira mingi, duy chamu so rupu taa, tu tangan di, ini te ko daa mewa di, me taa di kaa ya, taa ko, chayi mongbo di kong zulo li, ya ko chayi maa rwa, o di li shik kya jari ya.
Ala dama shi chokse li shine, duy chara wu ki dupde yorwa gen, chayi kaabu yorwa gen, chokse cha shine.
Chokse cha shine, taa, chokse ina taa, pichi kongsa jikba re, ko chayi mongbo yorwa, taa jikba an dhubu dhubu gire.
Ala no sa.
Rwa, ko, pen kongba taa, dinde mongbo chayi sinu yorwa.
No sa.
China taa, susun di dang di mendo taa, rwa, kongsa pike, susun yu, pike pungpunga ki te rangxin dhubu di, taa nyam yung to zay laan dhubu yorwa.
No sa.
Chojing de, chojing ne, nganzu kwa chang la ke chi xiong de bde, ene kar sa de, kwa chang de diba sang sa, giwa sang sa, da de da giwa di gang ne, pe kang sa, su su pung pung ding ne, ene zho gu gu rwa.
Bu
di xa ne, xe de den pa zi zang, da da, kang sa dang me, xe yi dang me, nyi den pa zi, xe yi dang me, xe gang ge zi kai ma, kang sa dang me, da rang xin me, kang sa dang me xe. Da pumbu rang xin me, xue yi dang me xie. Zu xiong dian pa do, ting zu pa war. Da xin pa di, ngan di pumbu kawa zi, da xio lu yung mo do, gong zi dian pa xia kai ma re. Xio lu dang me re ru ruwa, da riba song gu ruwa.
Ale no so. Ala gen, da chok zi gang gi gen, bina tongba nyi gi samba tangba na, di chue gu dang me samba tangba chabu.
O chau, chue gu dangba le.
Yen zi, kurang samba tangba zi, di samba tangba di, kwa di kansa dangba le le, su su kansa dangba samba di le la du si di, kwa di di gu ngu chabu ruwa gen.
O ta, dia, mi ka yi lo liu si gen, zi da bi zi su zi wa yi na, nye ba yo ma li zawa.
Ale no so.
但是你应该回去了刚才的话要给我要么是要了就是他就是说说下单你要走这块回来之后现在来了我下你的当面也头呢你的地方是吧就是说当面也是过这你一面不就过的嘛是的所以说这个刚才上上个方向就要来吧他一个我提到你父母他的他家的父母的这个都他的都是这样是吧就是他等一下的上上这不的你父母这个要么你
他的没有说当面也多了吧？因为你已经没去搞这个，已经没说么？到东站你明年不就过当面下个嘛的？反正东部产业省的了吧？但对民族是，咱其他东西听说吧？但民族是有那东部的旅游公司，民族是其他东部的了吧？东部搞这个公司，他现在干什么去了？Okay,
I think Gisela has, good answers to your question. Going by your examples, Gisela thinks that in some sense, since this table is kind of easy to conceptualize, what it consists of, the different parts, and so therefore it seems like it's easier to think about the emptiness or selflessness of this table compared to, as you were saying, thinking about the selflessness of the aggregates, the person, depending on aggregates. The way he answers from a couple of different angles here. The number one, he said, the reason why in the Buddhist literatures, when we talk about selflessness of a person and selfless phenomena, they are basically using only the person and aggregates as examples. So we really they don't talk too much about the emptiness of a pillar or a house or something like that. It's because when we look at our own situation in samsara, what really keeps us here is our grasping at the true existence of self and our aggregates. So that really binds us here, not so much grasping at the pillar or something else. Okay? And so in order to understand that, so they use those examples. But he also feels that it might depend upon different practitioner individuals, how much familiarity you with it, some other phenomena. So from that familiarity perspective, maybe it is for some people easy to think about the selflessness of table first, then the selflessness of person. And so I double checked with that because Kishala said, for example, Penchen Sonangdapa, one of the greatest Tibetan masters, so he takes a different position on what the Jetabu just said. He said, it really doesn't matter. It depends on the people. For some people, it might be easier to think about the selflessness of phenomena first and then vice versa. And so from that perspective, it is possible, we said that, for maybe some people who are more easy to deal with the table as a basis, with the selflessness. And he feels as long as that's, is happening with you, that's fine, from his perspective. But the more important what Geshe Rinpoche emphasizes, which you noted in your words, is we have to make sure first that we clearly identify the object of negation. Yeah, with that in our mind, we are analyzing whether such a self exists at all. If it does it exist as one with any of the aggregates or different from the aggregates? At the end of the analysis, we don't find such a self, so that is an indication that a person is empty of intrinsic existence. Otherwise, if we simply engage in an analysis with that understanding, we might say, oh, and then I don't find person, right? I realize that I'm not ear, I'm not nose, I'm not body, okay. That's not what we call emptiness analysis, because at the end you don't find something, doesn't mean you found the emptiness. Yeah. So we have to make sure that we have the precise, what we call understanding and clarity in our mind of the object of negation and then engage in analysis. So it depends, I think, on different people's perspective. I think that's a pretty good answer, right? Yeah. Yeah.
So the...
Yeah, second question now.
The other question was, there is the concept of Atman uh-huh. as perceived by the non-Buddhist schools.
Right.
Could you explain mm-hmm. fundamentally how that differs from the clear light mind as okay. we perceive it in the Madhyamika Prasangika school,
okay.
which carries the karmic imprints from life to life? Because
right.
there seems to be a sense of permanence to both
right.
in the sense that there is no beginning and no end
right.
to both,
right.
and both are subject to change.
Okay.
So there is a sense of similarity there, and I'm trying to try and understand.
Did you say both are subject to change? The Atma is subject to change? Is that your position?
In the sense that it carries our sins.
Okay.
So just like the karmic imprints that we have, the Atman also changes in that it carries our virtues and sins and so on.
Well, to any way they did it again. Da tanda pena kaso nangbe maybe shun ala ke da chi du gor wagen atma se chwa ge da en chi pu bo da takwa da ro wagen chi du gor ba de ta ane nangbe shun ne shebe pena la ba do da nga shun ne shebe ge ke da nyu ma len chi we se sem jor wagen sem cha ba de par wo che ba kare yor es pena da kon se takwa de de jor wagen de le ya ane thong ma da thama ka yi yo ma res han ko ba ta de ni gor sla ro wa ta ba na nyu ma len chi je we sem de la thong ma yo ma re tha ma yo ma re de gyun ne ta ta ba ni gor wagen ta ta ne de chi shi du sro wagen cha san di gi nyu ma len chi je we sem de ya le ya ane ke mi ge ka yi ne ko pha ja de ke ne ro wagen chi chi gor si gor sro wa cha san di ni ge da che ba ra bu de shi chi ki di se se na ro na sro wagen ta de
he de la wo do re no ko takwa se de da da ra ka ka sa chiro da da wa se de ko ju de ke ka ge de de che yo ro se se jun do ge ni zi de sa che ya yo ma ro wa no de ta shi de che sim se ya de ju ma len ji sim se ya de ni ko da da ju yin de mo de ge se mo ji ke ji jun do mo ji ma ro wa ko yang ge de mo mo bo shi ni ge wa de che de ko ya bo yong ta de ni me ge wa chen de du sha de ru a shi kuwa pa lu jing ju ni do ta ya sha go ro wa
According to the concept of Atma, okay, the soul, that's the best English translation, right? It's presented in the non-Buddhist schools of thought, usually we mean the Hindu philosophical schools, in my footnote, is that it is considered as, you're right, no beginning, no end, but it is a permanent entity, means that nothing can affect it and change it, you know, and it exists, you know, permanently, and without undergoing any kind of momentary changes or disintegration. Now, in the case of clear-light mind, the subtlest mind, you know, that carries our imprints of all kinds of karmas, now, it is not a permanent entity because it can be affected by our actions. Now, if we assume that there is an individual, you know, who really doesn't, well, just to make my point, excuse me, Saj, doesn't give a damn about doing anything positive or dharma, right? That person has the subtlest clear-light mind, but that clear-light mind is probably conditioned a lot by the negativity, so therefore this person, you know, has a very good chance to go to the bad migrations, you know, because the clear-light mind is affected by all the negativities. But on the other hand, if you do a lot of positive things, then that can affect the clear-light mind in a positive way that we are able to find. So I think that's that big difference, because the clear-light mind itself, the continuity, it exists everlasting, but it's not considered permanent because it undergoes momentary changes and things like that. All right, next question. I know you're all eager to, and I will be patient and stay here. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I guess my question is not really like a question, it's more like a summarization. I'm trying to understand the lecture. So you were saying that basically that if you know the process of understanding the self, you know the process of understanding phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
And then you gave the example of the barren woman. If you know that the woman's barren,
right,
you really need to speak about the child.
Right.
So then other schools were trying to say that stuff about, like, I say, you know the self, so they automatically know the selflessness of phenomena, but they don't because they have the misunderstanding of the selflessness. So is it that because they have, like, the wrong question at the beginning is that they can't figure out the right answer at the end?
Okay. I think I understood what you said. Okay, let me ask that to him. Okay. Quran de da to was ne da chi se she ru shu yin sa ro wa ge ko be sa wa sa jin ro wa ni si de no da be na da ge da cho ba mu chue de ge ro wa ge be na da ge ka sa da ge di mo shen pu ge de pe sha chi se ro wa ge ko quran se de ka la ya da be na da di du ta shan ba de ge da tang bu ne ti wa tang da ko ra no za ne go chue yo ma si go ro ba so wa quran se de ju shu ro wa ge di le ya pa ga pa cha go ro di ka re sa ge ko chi ti wa tang da no ro ye kon so ka le chen ro wa mandibu chade warasda.
Kuro sangmu nane dagme se ade, pati tangi dagme se no te na, dada dagin zeba se di, kuro sangmu dada dagin zeba se di, rangja tibi zeba se mo kuro, shisha de warwa. Tan dada chame dada dagin zeba de, eni mewa to, tongpo rangshi mewa to, gres, lao de zang na, eni tisi de tan tan, dada dagin zeba de kuro ngdo ya de she, di mewa to, ni pongpo rangshi mewa to, zu yo ma ra, rangshi mewa to, kakar do sa ra wa.
的 point is that as in any different schools of thought, and we really confine mostly to the different Buddhist schools of thought, and so each of them might have a different understanding of how a person or a self exists, okay? And so many of them really think that a person or the self exists substantially, okay? So we talked quite a bit about what does substantial existence mean here or there, and the person is independent, self-sufficient. So they, you know, so that is their, how should I say, notion of how a person, let me see, they said person is empty of self-sufficient, independence in existence, and that's their notion, conceptual person. But according to Prasangikas, yes, they have understood something about the self, but really not yet. They understand not precise enough. Okay, so being locked into their perspective, then they started to debate or question to the Prasangikas, right? Because assuming that, you know, Prasangika also agrees with their position, then they say, you know what, okay, so does that mean that once we realize the selfness of the person, we also realize the selfness of phenomena, right? Because that's, you know, their question. And Prasangika said, no. In the first place, your understanding of the self of the person is very different from what we say selfness of a person is. And the second place, you really don't accept the selflessness of phenomena, so you really can't, you know, ask that question to us. So I think there's a lot of intricacies about the philosophical differences. Okay? Does that help in some way a little bit? Yeah. I know it's very complicated. You know, we, all of us didn't have a chance to study different schools of thought, and we just kind of come in the middle of the thing. But yes, the next question. Anybody? Oh, there. Now, could you send it the back to the... Yes.
So the question, the debate between the Hindus and the Buddhists on the nature of the soul, the debate between Atman and Anatman,
right.
This is, you know, one of the key differences that we know between Buddhist and Hindu philosophy. And it's been ongoing, I think, for thousands of years.
Right.
But the question I have is, is this just a metaphysical question?
Mm-hmm.
Does it translate to an actual difference in conduct, personal conduct?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, whether one believes the soul exists or not,
right,
does that really translate to a difference
in
actual daily living and philosophy?
Okay, wonderful. Okay, I understood you. Kunan kan shu de de wa gen. Bena da chi kar so ra nang be shu na ra ina ta me shi go ro wa. Ta hin du shu mang go jen ta yo shi go ro atma ro gen. Ta da da di zhe ba de ne ta lo tang ra mang bo ko du jia de ro wa gen. Se de ta di zhe ba de ta ka chu ta chi zhe de jo re. Je na mi mi zhe na li ya da cha ju cha dang jo ro wa gen. De li ya ko nyu ba den den de li ke ba shu go ro kar re so wa gen. Ta yu ne yu ta me ne me ro wa gen.
I'm going to go to the house. In the Dagma said the call in Tonsia, the Sayatong and all the unique number of Shaji Gate, Tan, Tigmara, Dagma, you are being a cigar.
It's not just a metaphysical debate or intellectual kind of a debate, but it has a real implications to how we live our life in everyday life. Let's go back to our little bit sort of limited understanding of the Atma in the non-Buddhist traditions, where there is a permanent soul. Okay? And they do say that permanent soul is the basis for karma and actions. Okay? But from Buddhist point of view, it really doesn't make any sense. If something is permanent, it cannot be changed or affected by anything else, so then you can't really talk about actions and their outcomes. Okay? And so that's the Buddhist stage, a person or a self cannot be permanent. If something is permanent and never changing, so why even bother to do good things or, worry about the bad things? Because, nothing is going to change anyway. Okay? But that's not what it is. So Buddhist says, in reality, person or the self is not permanent. And so that is the basis for understanding our karmic actions and outcomes. But from spirituality point of view, Buddhism, good deep down, why we really have to struggle with understanding selflessness or self is because we said that our goal is a liberation of freedom, okay? And in order to realize that, we have to understand, what keeps us in this samsara with all kinds of suffering which we don't want, okay? What is the root cause? So the root causes, again, we said, is something to do with the way we conceptualize and grasp at the self, okay, or the I. So if we don't understand that, the way we grasp at the self, then there is no way out of our suffering and samsara, so therefore there is no liberation. Okay, so in order to be able to understand the nirvana, that it exists, and there is a way out of this samsara, we have to explore and investigate the way we grasp at the I or the self. So that's, I think, from spirituality point of view, okay, Buddhist. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, from what I understand, what you're saying, your refutation of of Hindu philosophy consists in that if something is permanent, such as if the soul is permanent,
right,
then it cannot change.
Right.
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 Okay, but. So are you saying that it's not possible for the soul to be permanent, existing for all time, yet during its existence, it is somehow modified by karma? It's not possible?
It cannot be, according to Hindu philosophy, no. It cannot be changed, yeah. I mean, that's their position,
That's their position.
Yeah. So we have to respect that, right? That's their position. We say, if that is the case, it doesn't, seem feasible to us, right? It's not like, when the soul is in a transition period, so we can change it into whatever we like. Well, then it is not permanent anyway, see. So then the Hindu lose their position. Now they're with the Buddhists, right? Of course, they're not going to do that, see, right?
So, but I can use an example. A person lives from, from a baby to an old person, to
right.
an old man, and
right.
dies, okay? But
yes.
during this period of time,
yes.
this person has the same name
uh-huh.
and you may say an identity.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
But during this period of time, this person changes in physical appearance.
Yes.
So wouldn't you say then this existence
uh-huh.
can have something that is
permanent.
Sustaining the uh-huh. sustaining for that period of time, not just permanent, but
uh-huh.
sustaining for that period of time,
yeah.
yet it also changes in some respects.
Yeah.
So can you just use that as a metaphor for the soul, saying that even though it lasts a long time, yet it can still change during that period.
Yeah, but
of time.
They won't say that. See,
they
we are changing their perspective. They don't simply say the self is sustaining like that, as your example said. They simply say it doesn't change at all. It's permanent in a sense. And what you just theorize is what Buddhists are more likely to say. For example, consciousness, it exists continuously, sustained over many lifetimes, and we can change here and there. But that's our version of it. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Could you send it up here? Or anybody on the other side of our, in the Vietnamese translation section? Any questions? Yeah. Could you give the mic to, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I guess my next question basically is, it kind of like deals with the, if you're a Bodhisattva, you should know the past of the Shravaka and the Pratyeka Buddha, right?
Yes.
And, but then they talk about like, today on page 122, they're talking about all the Shravakas and the Pratyeka Buddhas. They follow the Hinayana, but then they apprehend an essence and form.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that they have to know that, I guess, that path as well, knowing essence?
Oh, so your question is, you know, why do Bodhisattvas have to know the paths of the Sharvakas and Pratyeka Buddhas? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I got confused because it was saying that since they follow the Hinayana,
okay, yes,
like on page 122.
Yes. Yes.
They talk about apprehending an essence, so
wouldn't
that hinder your, I guess, your path?
Okay.
You're looking for an essence.
Okay. All right. Is this the one we... the quote from the Midway commentary, is that what it is? Sarvakas Patikas following Hinayana tenets are inaccurate because no, where is that essence thing you just read? Page 122, where is it? In the middle, on the top?
It says Chami Fiki's explanation of the Midway commentary.
Right, Midway commentary, right? Okay, yeah. Okay. Again, this is the Kurangi Hakwadanchi Chevina and Chanju Sembagi. The question Ningbu says some of the time, and it comes again, Lambda must and God were Marisudo again, than the Lambrina. Then Ningbu Zimbason is dog. I think Geshe-la already closed his book, so it's hard for me to say this back in exactly that he would understand in Tibetan. This Geshe-la. Let me read this English carefully. Tenets inaccurate because they apprehend an essence and things such as form. I don't know again, Sugula saw what they get there, Ningbu is Tongo or Restro again. And di konzo nobres si gabo ti do. Sa ning bu tong wen an konzo lam ke ya du ye che mo de ga de yo mo si. Ning bu yo
ba se de ti ge da rong xi zhe wa bei. Ko to ba ta zo mai wa de kro bi ge. Chu tu bi ge de le ge zhe ge. Ta de rong ye da ni du de ma da. Ti me du zo ma.
Ma de ne du bu ma da la.
Du zo ma. Du zo ma da rong ye ni de kha kha pe sha ma da. Ta de si ra ma do de ma zo yo. Tingme dhuta maa shiru mugi, tingme maa shiru maa da.
Alia no sa.
Tingme dhuta maa shiru maa. Tingga maa lai ti, karsa jen buchi phe buddhi dhuwa le, o tiri jing tu soya maa mudwa, o tiri nuhu re se. Tanda ni zuwa shi ganga ti karsa nindu di yi se, tingme dhuta maa shiru da.
No so ge.
Nindu da rangye te maa le.
No so ge.
Nindu da rangye donyi dhuwa kwa, donyi maa zang tawa dhuwa maa rwa.
Din
paani daya lo na donyi dhuwa.
So as a matter of, I'm glad you asked that question, you know, Geshe-la. The one thing, you know, in that particular passage, I read it, okay, Shravakas and Pratyeka Buddhas following Hinayana tenets are inaccurate because they apprehend an essence in things such as form, right? That's, you relate your question to that. The thing Geshe-la wants to really clarify, which is very important, is that we cannot equate Shravakas and Pratyeka Buddhas solitary realizers with the followers of Vaibhasikas and Sautantikas. Okay? Buddhist school of thought or tenet is different from the, you know, from the Shravaka practitioners and the Pratyuga practitioners. Shravakas and Pratyugas, we assert, must realize selflessness in order to attain Nirvana. But in the Buddhist schools of thought, lower schools of thought, right, Vaibhasika and Sautantikas, they do not realize that selflessness. They have a different version of what that selflessness is. So the essence in this particular context means the proponents of those Buddhist schools of thought, they're still holding on to this intrinsic existence or true existence, right? Which is wrong from Pasangika point of view. So if, so long as they do that, then they are stuck, okay, in their advancement. So we have to differentiate between, right, the proponents and the followers of the Buddhist schools of thought, lower schools of thought, such as Vaibhasikas and Sautantikas from Shravakas and Pratyeka Buddhas. Okay? Okay, so we should not equate them, you know. Then we get a, you know, issue. I think that's a very important distinction. All right, I think our heads are quite activated, brain cells are, so maybe we'll stop there today. The day starts over again. It's past like 12:30 something. That's right. Oh, I have it. Well, my memory is not too bad. I thought I lost it. We have a prayer request. One of our students, you know, I don't know her last name, which is Shim, but we call her Ruth. Remember Lotte and Ruth? Ruth is in ICU, so we request everybody to pray for her. How does this work? Okay. First we will do these prayers, and then we'll recite Om Mani Padme Hum, and then we do the dedication. Okay. O peerless saver and supreme teacher, Suddhodana's son, all the 17 masters and adepts, Nagarjuna and Asanga and so on, O Dipankar as well as Sovereign Father Tsongkhapa, gloriously appear here today to grant auspiciousness. On the great path leading to the heart of enlightenment, you have traversed by means of the perfect threefold discipline and have enhanced ever higher the realizations of the enlightened qualities. O glorious Guru, we offer our supplications at your feet. Pray return gloriously to propagate the teaching of love song by tying well the sash of monastic disciplinary precept and generating the altruistic intention to free all beings engaged in the tantric yogas of the two stages. Think of the unbearable pain of the sentient being who are enveloped in the forces of five degenerations and to open wide the lotus grove of the Buddha's teaching. May your reincarnation appear soon as a source of merit for us. O infinite Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you are the embodiment of uncontaminated and immutable great bliss. Kindly pour on us now your blessings, rains of nectar from the great clouds of your pervasive, pure and bright wisdom and compassion to eliminate our distress. We pray to you, unincomparable great hero, who has perfectly realized within his mind the threefold ethics, a pure essence of the extensive system of Tathagata's teaching, he who has raised a parasol of Dharma in hundreds of directions. Your body is the center of all wonderful qualities, but all of a sudden it set into solitary peace. You have committed before infinite Buddhas to work for Dharma and sentient beings. You could not have given up your commitment. However, your presence depends on the fortunes of disciples, for the power of dependent arising is inconceivable. Please reincarnate soon as a new light of Dharma, out of your compassion that never abandons us. Please return soon as a supreme spiritual guide, a treasure house of the immense teaching of Buddha, a voice that eloquently elucidates the teaching. Individuals' dispositions and capacities. Please return soon as a great Dharma king, who will be known in all directions for smashing into pieces a mountain of misguided teachings and views through the power of your thunderbolt lightning of the three reasonings. Please return soon, just like your previous self, an expert in the five major sciences of Buddhism, whose eloquent words and articulation of the teaching captivate the hearts of all the scholars and activate deep appreciation in pure enthusiastic mind. Please return soon as a spiritual guide, endowed with complete knowledge, kindness, and dedication in regards to the perfect view, meditation, and conduct, one who facilitates the opening of the blossom lotus, that is the golden teaching of Tsongkhapa, by the power of the three infallible jewels, by the power of dependent arising of unchanging emptiness, by the truth of our pure thoughts and devotion, may all our aspirations be spontaneously fulfilled. Namo Dibam Ka Kunchunga Bhatongung Dupu Kolam Dungchung Hindan Hindu Bandai Nupu Tintan Dalok Tukchi Chintam Tintan Ka May Dai Siva Dungung Dupu Badang Golu Rolai Pepu Babu Bhuda Bohi Don Serve and Kun Tuchan Tintu Tusan Jumo Tolai Kongpe Kungo Babam Losa Bangsu Dachet Himin Hindu
Rồi từ bi đại nguyện chúng sanh tinh chuyên hành trì xuất gia mật đệ nhị phần chính đắc xin luôn thương tự khổ khổ bất tham ba cõi hữu tình thường bị bao phủ cho đạo khôn nguôi mãnh lực ngũ trượt đưa tay rộng mở bát ngát vườn sen giáo lý Phật Đà xin mau tái sanh nhanh trong hiện hành phước nguồn tự chứng Nam mô vô vi chư Phật chư Bồ Tát các ngài thị hiện bát ngát báu thân của chân đại lạc bất biến trong ngần xin trải từ tâm ân cần phù hộ mưa thánh thủy từ mây đại lộ đủ huệ bi tịnh khổ dạng người tận diệt thống khổ tức thời niệm danh ngài bậc đại hùng vô sánh đã hoàn toàn chứng pháp tánh mây thâm hoa tạc giới mật cốt tủy uyên thâm của đại thừa Như Lai truyền giáo ngài nâng cao lộng vàng pháp bảo trầm hứng vương lan tỏa muôn phương báu thân ngài trói lò phẩm hạnh sa bỗng nhiên nhập cảnh bích chi ngài từng chiếc phật thể đi hứa luôn hoàng pháp làm vì độ sanh tùy phước đệ tử mà ngài hiện thế lý nhân duyên chẳng thể nghĩ bàn xin mau hóa sanh thành ánh đạo vàng từ bi mãi chẳng bỏ đàn vơ vơ xin mau trở lại là đại đạo sư như kho tàng chứa kinh thư vô lượng lời tuyên giảng soi tường pháp bảo thế căn cơ thiện xảo độ sanh xin mau trở lại là đại pháp vương lừng danh kim cổ mười phương tán đồng phá tan núi thị pháp lòng tà kiến tam đoạn luận xét nghiến sấm vang xin mau trở lại như thân đời trước các ngũ minh kiến thức viên thâm viện tài vô ngại lý giải pháp âm học giả khẩu phục hàng tâm hiện giả cảm nhận hồng ân đức lòng xin mau trở lại là bậc đạo sư hiền từ thông thái mẫn từ tận tâm chánh kiến định mạng chuyên cần ương sen thế nhị hương lân pháp đàm của sông ca ba ý ngọc lời vàng do thần lực tam bảo linh ứng do thần lực duyên khởi tương ưng với tánh không bất nhị bất trùng do tâm lực trí thành cùng kính ngưỡng xin cho sở nguyện chúng đệ tử được tức thời viên mãn.
Sa tông ngô lượng giới bồ tát chân tông giới bồ tát sanh bồ tát giới tông khả la quan tuyến thế là thế tông bảo chuẩn bảo chế thế là chẳng giới lo ôm mani bên mê hùng Om mani padme hum. Omane beme ore gewa diye nyodo da cherese wan rojo ne rowa chiya.
Enjoy your lunch.